Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 14th of December. Joining us this morning, live and in person. Ooh, you look like you've got a fancy meeting after this. Don't you? Yep. They don't normally dress that way for us. You're not even going to comment, are you?
No, I'm not even going to comment.
Okay,
no.
Fine. Well, yeah. Then we'll let the rumors abound. We got a new book.
Why it's related. You say it?
It's related to.
Ever wonder why?
Yeah.
But the best part about the book is that it has rubber duckies on the front.
Yes, and it's got 600, so this is a 2-year job.
Okay.
Actually, nice. It's more 2.5 years, right. Huh? Okay. What, 250 weekdays? Yeah. Or 252? All right. So why do we say Blockbuster? No video references needed.
I know. I'm thinking about it. Why do we say Blockbuster? So, because it was a great calamity that exploded the block, because it was such a big deal that everyone came out of their houses. I have no idea.
Anytime a Blockbuster movie or novel is released, lines are sure to form.
Around the block.
Producers and publishers know that the glow won't last that long, so they wish to cash in when they can. The earliest Blockbusters stayed in the news for a month after month during World War II. The original Blockbuster was a high-explosive bomb that could level an entire block. They were kind of close on that one, too. Eventually, anything that made a considerable impact, like a spectacularly successful enterprise or production, took the name of the most powerful bomb before the advent of nuclear. A Blockbuster, yeah. You kind of got a little here and a little there on that one.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of like serving half a dessert.
Because it's not good enough.
No, because it's just not all there. That's all.
What is half a dessert?
Half a dessert.
Is that like pie a la mode, but without the a la mode?
Yeah, or without the pie.
Well, then that's just ice cream.
Here's pie a la mode without the pie. Yeah. It just depends on how you present it. We're cutting down on your caloric intake today, so here's your pie a la mode and the ice cream ball.
That sounds like a marketing.
Yeah, see, I knew I'd bring you across that line eventually. Oh, boy. So now that the rain is happening a little bit, are we officially out of the fire season?
We're out of the fire season, yes.
Nothing is burning anywhere. We're okay?
I wouldn't say nothing is burning anywhere. Well, I mean, this big storm series that we're getting right now is pretty widely dispersed across California, so that's the good news. But just even a week and a half ago, it was quite dry across much of the state. Again, I mean, we have been feeling soggy in the north,
yes.
but November was relatively...
How long does it take moisture to get to, I guess, wick up a tree?
Wick up a tree. So let me describe it in this way. I'm going to describe it for dry materials. So in fire terms, we talk about 1 hour, 10 hour, and 100 hour fuels.
Okay.
Now let's think of it in sort of simple terms. They're related to diameter. So grass is a 1 hour fuel. And do you know why?
Because it doesn't take that long for the heat to make it go woof.
Sort of. It doesn't. It takes an hour for the humidity and the moisture content to change in grass. So in the morning,
it takes that long.
Again, so in the morning it can be dewy and wet, and then the sun comes out, and you can have drying within an hour. So a 10-hour.
So it's not the moisture on the grass.
It's in within
inside.
So then
the plant
a 10-hour fuel is about the size of an index finger, and takes about 10 hours. And a 100-hour fuel is about 3 inches in diameter.
So you got a rose bush.
So that would be 1 hour fuel.
And then you've got like a roadie.
Yeah. And then there's something called 1,000-hour fuels, which are...
Trees.
Which are bigger than
big
that.
Big trees, yeah.
Right? And so that's why if you have a typically wet year, the big heavies, as some people might call them, but the logs can take a long time to be available to burn.
To dry out.
To dry out enough that they'll burn. And so that's what was so complicated about this year is that we had a very, very long period without rainfall. And so all those big logs would engage if you had wildfire, where in the June you might only just have it sort of skunk around and do a little bit here and there.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the health of the tree. It's just the normal.
So that's, I'm just talking about dead material. So live
trees.
Oh,
well, we'll get back and talk about live stuff. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with noted canner, Yana Valakovic. How much do you do? I know you know, with a lot of the programs out at Spruce Point work with canning and home economics and stuff, but...
Do I can?
Yeah.
I mean, I can personally, but I don't I don't teach canning.
Right,
no.
Right. You like doing it, or is it something to... do, or is this something from when you were a little girl?
Oh, yeah.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, I mean, my family canned everything.
Right.
You know, so yeah. So what do? I do, as a regularity, canned pickled dilly beans for fun. So a little hors d'oeuvre snack thing, you know, with a good...
You don't make cheese also, do you?
I do not make cheese.
Crackers are out?
I don't make crackers.
Okay, so we have to supply those.
Yes, we do. You have to bring the salami, too.
Yeah, okay.
I do various tomato products because we grow tomatoes. And I do various...
Zucchini?
Do I grow zucchini? No, I do not can zucchini. No, no one should can zucchini. Actually, people should can zucchini. And I do mostly, and then I do a lot of apple stuff because I have a lot of apple trees.
Oh, apple cobbler or apple pie?
Pie.
I like cobblers.
Yeah.
I just like the crunchy on the top with the cinnamon on
it. They're easier. They're easier.
Well, that's part of it, too.
Yeah. Apple juice, applesauce. Oh, and then I do jam every year.
Blueberry?
Well.
Oh, you're hesitating.
Wrong. No. Well, it's always a dilemma, you know, among the family who will eat what. So we tend to orbit between apricot and plum.
Really?
In terms of what the family will eat, yeah.
Not the blackberry, loganberry, marionberry.
Well, those don't last very long in our household, so.
Oh, they never get to the canning stage.
And we never have so many of them that it's worth canning. There's a lot of eating.
A battle in the kitchen, huh?
Right. Well, yeah, okay. Most of the berries, if there's leftover, get frozen and then used somewhere else because there's not that many of them.
Cobblers.
Right, exactly.
See?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah. But you asked about canning, so.
Yeah, that works.
But yeah. But, yeah, you know, learn it from your family and part of your family tradition. And
carry on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got a good friend that's part of her family tradition, so we're canning partners in crime.
Oh, so you just take over the kitchen and it just looks like a bloodbath with all the berries all over the place.
I think my best investment, though, is I bought an outdoor burner. So I do...
Oh.
My canner. My
so you canning. Let the birds take care of the mess.
Well, no, but I do those outside, and that way, the water and the bubbles and the this and the that, it's much easier managed outside.
The mess
outside.
And the splash.
Yep.
Yeah. Hose it down when you're done.
Right. But like the.
I have found out that hosing off the kitchen inside the house
is not so good.
Is frowned upon. Yeah.
It is a little bit frowned upon. Yeah. Yeah. But like when we do can dilly beans and it's a production, we'll buy 40 pounds of beans and do them together. And we lay out long tables and sort them by size because putting them in the jar is complicated. And that way, if they're all the same size, you can manage
the height. It's like asparagus. You want them all about the same.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But beans grow in different dimensions, and there's curly ones too, and so those are the
outliers.
Well, there'll be a curly jar that we'll make.
Oh, you do that instead of just eat those?
Well, we'll eat some of them too.
Yeah,
but, you know, but yeah.
I figured. So before the break, we were talking about humidity and moisture inside of plant material.
Right.
And you'd give us the hours based on if something was dead.
1 hour, 10 hours.
Not alive. And I think probably it's a combination, obviously, of what we experienced during the fire season.
Sure.
For live plants, how much longer or prolonged is it?
Well, so from a fire perspective, there's another element in there. There's also volatile oils in plants.
Oh, you mean the sap?
Sap.
The equivalent of.
Right. So there's other things that make them burnable in addition to how much moisture is.
Yeah, nothing like a good pine tree to explode with a fire, right?
Right, right. So, So, yes, there's an evaluation. You can evaluate how much the moisture content is in green trees.
Now, when the Forest Service goes out and they determine where the arrow is next to Smokey with the fire danger, are they measuring? I know there's some kind of an implement that they use, and if the reed gets to a certain point, it's at this kind of fire weather. But what is that measuring the humidity in the woods? Is that sampling that grass reference that you had before, or a reed? I mean, how do they determine if it's extreme or high or moderate or low fire danger?
You always have such interesting questions, Brian.
I know, but it takes me so long to ask. At least you could prepare the answer.
But the answer is I don't really know. Oh. So if I made it up, then some listener would call me and say, why didn't you say this, Yana? I don't really know, but I'm sure it has something to do with the weather conditions that day and what the predicted wind behavior is, the relative humidity, and an overall assessment of how things are. So, you know, how do we get to a red flag warning day, right? That has more to do with wind, anticipated wind, and the overall humidity levels of the day, right? So whether that mostly you see them at the Cal Fire stations, extreme behavior, weather day or not, fire day, I don't know how they exactly...
Wind
seems that's a they, right?
So yeah,
I'm not.
Wind
a
certainly seems to be more of a player now, or a recognized player,
huge
than what it was,
or maybe,
say 25 years ago.
Or maybe we're doing a better job communicating to everyone about how important wind is.
Okay, the general public.
Yeah,
that's my point of view, not from yours.
Right.
Too much study. At least for me, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Yana Valakovic from the Cooperative Extension at Spruce Point. You need UCM mentioned also? Well, I guess I just did, so.
It doesn't matter. Well, it's in partnership with Humboldt and Del Norte Counties, too. So,
yeah. I didn't mention that part either.
No. So we got to give a shout-out to the fact that we've been...
Everybody listening, except for you folks in Mendocino, you got hammered on this one.
Well, no, but I have colleagues that do the exact same thing that I do in Mendocino County.
But they're not you.
Well, that's
They don't can beans outside and hose it down afterwards. See what they miss?
I know. Yeah. They're fortunate that they don't have I did give a talk the other day, and I said, there's someone like me in every one of your counties, and they said...
Fear ensued.
And they're like, no, that's not true. I'm like, it's good. It's a good thing it's not true, actually.
So our supervisor buddies indicated that you got to participate in CSAC this year.
Oh, they told you about that.
Yeah. They said that you were kind of hanging around and playing the wannabe thing. And little bit of idol worshiping and that kind of stuff. But
that I from your that I want to be a supervisor.
You almost got sucked in on that one, huh?
No.
So what was your perspective as a non-supervisor going to a CSAC meeting?
Okay, so let's back up. So CSAC is the California State Association of Counties. Been around for 100 plus years. So all 58 counties are represented there. There are two delegates from each county that generally go. We've had Virginia Bass be a recent and past chair of that organization. Right. And so they're an effective group to work on the problems of the counties to bring them to both the state and the feds. And typically the soups go, and yeah. It's a great mentoring and learning opportunity for them. And you know what I think is fun for me is to watch them see other people just like them who are in the same jobs, but you know, and deal with. I mean, like I kept hearing the groan of redistricting. Everybody's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, redistricting." Right? You know, they're all facing that same
from the back row in the seminar meeting, right? Yeah. Oh, I'm doing okay.
I was invited to give a talk, and it was in the kind of the beginning session, so we had pretty good attendance for it. No, I don't want to be a supervisor, but do I enjoy seeing everyone together and watching the dynamics? Absolutely. I've also gone to...
That's half the fun of going to a convention or conference.
It is. I've also gone to the RCRC. Yeah. And that one, as an outsider, is a little more enjoyable for me because there's more... The CSAC one is more stuff is directed at the supervisors, where RCRC has more just general learning. And they all have really dynamic talks.
More ground up rather than
understanding the system. It's just structured different. It's smaller.
I would think it would be less formal, too.
It is less formal, absolutely. Which it's less formal.
A lot of us enjoy that setting.
Yeah. Also, you'll see parallel meetings. The clerks will meet, the CAOs will meet, the engineers will meet. So there's simultaneous groups that are all associated with county government that are doing their own thing. And yeah.
So after what was your topic?
I was invited to talk about fire. That's a big surprise.
Okay, yeah.
I went with the former director of CAL FIRE, Ken Pimlott, and went with assembly member Jim Wood, and we were talking about how we fixed the fire problem and what the role that...
Fixed the fire problem.
Yeah.
So there's no more fire problem?
No, we didn't fix it yet, but we were talking about how local government can align in that space and why it's important right now and what the crisis is. And
okay, align in that space.
Well...
English, please.
Darn it. You know, let's see. Fixing wildfire challenges is not just about investment in the fire forces, right? We
sure.
know that. And there's a lot of effort and conversation in that place. But what does the role of county government have in addressing these wildfire issues? And what are the opportunities that county government can have to be a player that is effective in that space?
More than a cheerleader function?
More than a cheerleader, right. So we mostly think, I think most people think about it as planning and zoning. But I think of it more broadly than that. It's also what are our economic development teams doing? And how are they working around support of businesses that may or may not be part of the qualified workforce, the essential infrastructure that you might need to process woody fuels, for example, or develop businesses that can be helpful and supportive to solving some of those challenges. So alignment to me means thinking about if wildfire is an issue for everyone, which I think it is, right? And if the county government identifies it as an issue, then how do your associated departments make sure that you're moving in the same direction and you're doing...
Some more coordination and communication.
Right, and you're doing activities that help support finding solutions.
With the Q&A that undoubtedly happened afterwards.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
I love it. You know, when I have to do those things, it's like 10-minute presentation, an hour and a half of Q&A.
Sure.
Because, you know, if you say the right things, then you get the minds right working. Was there surprise at the information or questions about implementation or I mean, how did the various counties react? Because I would suspect some are more advanced than others.
I mean, our message was that the wildfire issues are not just a rural issue. They're a whole statewide issue, and we need to move all together as all counties because there's this significant, I'm going to call it shadow effect, where if you have a major calamity and wildfire in one community, it spreads significantly outside the bounds of that fire. So, for example,
kind of like the Sierras and Paradise and Santa Rosa.
Think about like the fire in Paradise. Many people spilled into Chico as the next logical place. Well, homelessness has quadrupled in Chico, and the new look at homelessness is mostly an elderly population that was displaced from Paradise. So the effect of something happening in a neighboring community is substantial in the adjacent community. Think about
ripples on the pond, so to speak.
Ripples on the pond. Yeah. Think about landfills and our hazardous waste disposal. We're exceeding the life of, we're rapidly decreasing the life of those landfill facilities because of the need to dispose of all these
charred embers,
burned buildings, contaminants, and they may not be anywhere near the actual fire because the landfill may be the closest landfill, but it still could be a significant drive. So
how do they do that, like in Iowa and Kentucky now with the tornado stuff?
I'm sure it's the same kind of
very comparable.
We were talking about missed school days. The majority of them are related to wildfire. And where those are strongest is in the rural communities, and that's where we have the biggest broadband challenges.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. So, Jana, typically people ask, what were the takeaways you got?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
What were your giveaways that people resonated with?
I think people related to some of the presentation I gave.
Yeah. Or just your essence being there. I mean, if you... Jeez.
Don't go there. You know, I think there was a degree of appreciation that we were able to articulate a whole range of the challenges that they can relate to and then just start to chart a pathway forward through this. And
so they had usable information.
They had usable information, yes.
Articulate's another one of those fancy words I guess they only teach in Southern Humboldt, not in Eureka.
Oh, sorry.
I know.
Sorry. Alignment, articulate. But you ask me the way we say this, and yeah. I would always have to bosh that one. I don't know. I mean, I think the idea that there are people that are thinking about this and that are there to help. I mean, because if you're a supervisor, you are elected to represent an entire district that has 15,000 challenges. And you're a jack or a Jill of many trades once you spend some time in that role, but you can't be an expert on everything.
And a fool's errand.
Right. And so to know that you've got team members that spend time in that space and can really start to think about how do you cross that rural-urban divide? How do we find commonality in this? How do we lift this together? So I hope people took that away, because that's what I was trying to do, was to say that we are all part of this great experience of California, and urban and rural together, we face the same challenge when it comes to wildfire. I mean, think about smoke.
Does everybody have a forest advisor, or
there are natural resource people in most of the offices.
So that network of information is available if they pick up the phone.
Right.
Drive down the street.
Right. And so since being at the State Association of Counties, I've gotten three phone calls from supervisors wanting to find out more from different counties, San Luis Obispo, Tuolumne, Inyo, and and I will either turn them over to my colleagues there or figure out something that I can do to come in and help with whatever the issue
Specific questions or the broad stroke?
Specific
ones?
Questions, yeah. Yeah, okay. But, you know, I've been an extension now for 21 years, so...
Still a rookie by some standards.
Still a rookie by some standards, but now have been in forestry. I'm the one who's been around for a while. So that means...
Don't they call it seasoned?
Seasoned, yeah.
The most
School
seasoned,
of Hard Knocks, yeah. But because I do forestry, and forestry is governed by policy... Talking about fire, fire is also governed by policy, so I'm in this interesting niche.
More of a political
well, I understand
position
how
than
one
botanical
might,
one?
The solutions involve conversation with electeds, right? There's no there's
always will.
Always
yeah.
will. So that gives me a skill set that is different than others. And then I also do this whole piece around how we think about and how we actually implement changing our construction style and our ability to make our homes and our businesses more resilient.
Who's easy to work with, electeds or appointeds?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard question. It depends on the issue, really.
There's not a philosophical distinction between the two?
No.
Fine. Try to get you in trouble, and then
no.
you know, let you leave the area for a little bit,
and then
everything kind of settled down.
Yeah,
and you
fight.
Don't even you're not,
I'm not
even
rise to fight. No.
Oh, what a drag!
Get in the mirror on a bag like that. No.
Well, Merry Christmas. However yeah. you choose to spend it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
thank
with
you.
Beans or without.
Okay.
Your call.
For those who can't understand what he's saying, I gave him a can
of a jar. It's not a can. It's
a jar. Jar of my canned dill beans.
That's right.
So
Mason or Ball.
Looks like Kerr.
Oh.
Well.
They're all pretty good stuff.
They are all good stuff.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
See everybody tomorrow.